Good morning. Good morning and thanks for joining us at 8:30 a.m. on the fourth morning after the night before. I appreciate everyone getting up this early. My name's Sarah Manning Dawson, and I'm a lead program manager on the Information Protection Team. It's a new team formed in Office 365, which was built so that our compliance and security features would be centralized so we'd have a unified story across all of the workloads in Office 365, rather than having them specific to SharePoint or Exchange or Yammer or Link. My background is I spent 15 years on the Exchange team, working on everything from the lowest layer of the SMTP transport stack up to Outlook web app for devices. While I was in Exchange, I helped to build the HTML5-based offline store that mobile Outlook web app uses. And so I'm very excited to be talking today about how we're going to protect the data that that brings onto the phone.
Yep, and I'm Brian Keller, lead program manager on the Intune team, and very excited to get to present to you today what we've worked so hard to put together. It's been a real pleasure working with Sarah and her team and getting the Intune engineers and O365 engineers together and building a single solution for mobile device management within O365. So really looking forward to showing you that today.
All right. So our organization's prepared. A few statistics to start off our talk. The first one is that 50% of employers by 2017 will require employees to supply their own device for work purposes. Now, when I saw this, I had to smile because the word require is a little misleading in this context. Traditionally, what we saw when mobile devices became highly relevant to the workforce was companies would have their own. They would have the user take the BlackBerry and then have a separate personal device. And it was really driven heavily by the users not wanting to maintain and learn and have two separate things they had to carry around. And BYOD grew very organically. And so there came a point where employers said, you know what? You have corporate data coming to your personal device, and I need to figure out how to manage that. I'm not going to stop it. It's convenient. It makes sense. It's easier for everyone. But if that's the case, I need to be able to manage it. And so we've started creating solutions for employers to do that. And once they sort of turn that corner, they realized if they're going to have all that infrastructure in place, then let's make it a BYOD environment. Let's have the requirement that users bring their own device, and we'll take care of our corporate data on that device, and we'll try to leave users alone with the rest of their data on that device. Now, as you probably know today, we have ActiveSync controls available in Office 365, and they've been there for years and years and have served their purpose well, but it's certainly time for an evolution. And the reason is because of the very nature of BYOD, we want a clearer separation between the corporate and organization data on those devices and personal data. Now, ActiveSync applied only to email, so it doesn't cover all of the Office 365 workloads and all the ways that the cloud data can get onto the device. And it also has very coarse controls, which works against this philosophy, right, of separating the user's data from the corporate data. For example, when you connect to your Exchange server, often there will be a policy in place that says you must pin lock the phone. And so now all of a sudden when you want to reply to a text or you want to take a picture, although sometimes the camera can get around that, now you have to unlock your phone just because of the Exchange data on the phone, right? That's inconvenient. And it inhibits the user's ability to use the phone for personal. Also, if you have to wipe the phone, it's a very coarse wipe. It wipes everything today. So when we talk about employers requiring employees to supply their own device for work purposes, it's really about the employers and the employees having a contract where they will support and allow data to get onto that device, but they want to manage the stuff that can create risk for the company while doing their best to leave the other stuff to you. ...90% of enterprises, two or more mobile operating systems to support in 2017. I imagine this number is probably a little bit earlier, actually. And this is a bit of a no-brainer, right? There's some great products on the market today. We know the big two are Android and iOS. Android, by far, is the biggest market share in general, but what we see in our cloud service is about an even split between Android and iOS, and absolutely Windows is prevalent in those environments as well. And typically with IWs, right, they're able to have slightly more sophisticated devices, and, you know, iPhones and iOS devices are a little pricier than most of the Android offerings. So we see a little bit of a difference in our cloud service as opposed to, you know, what the rest of the world is buying in terms of these devices. So we've got the two big operating systems. We've, of course, got Windows Phone, which is making inroads in market share. We've got Amazon bringing the Fire, many different BYOD devices. And because the nature of BYOD is that it's your choice, right, companies realize that they're not going to require or legislate one OS across the organization. Whatever their solution has to work broadly. This one, I love this statistic. 93% of employees admit to violating information security policies. Violating. And what does this mean? Well, the statistic to me is obvious. It means 93% of all people are bad. And the way that companies need to deal with this is just making controls tighter and more restrictive, right? Because that always works. I jest. So being 2 years in the compliance area in Office 365, I've learned a lot about human behaviors and the fact that it's really our job to protect companies against risk while making the minimal impact to the user's productivity and experience that we can. And so our team hasn't just been chartered with putting as many controls in place as we can, but doing it in a way that gives the company the granularity they need and the level of controls they need without prohibiting the user experience to the biggest extent possible, just leaving users free to do whatever it is they need to do, especially if it's a BYOD device and they've got a lot of personal data and personal communication on it. And 80% of employees admit to using non-approved software as a service application in their jobs. This is also not a surprising statistic. And what we've seen is sometimes using these non-approved software as a service on their BYOD device leads to a very organic, organic outcome of driving the organization to adopt these things as approved services. And so this can be a viral way of influencing the company to bring some of these services on board. So although for the most part this appears to be a bad thing, sometimes it's led to big productivity. And in fact, one of the reasons we purchased Yammer is because it was very good at doing this, introducing Yammer into an enterprise one person at a time until it gained critical mass and really, really captured the eye of the IT admin and eventually was used in the organization for productivity. So what does this all mean? Well, what it's meant to us is that ActiveSync has been valuable in its own right. It has served its purpose well, but we need to do more. We have a lot of people onboarding on to Office 365. If any of you have been reading the stats, it's a very successful business, and we're very pleased to offer it to the world. And the world is going mobile first. And so it's time for us to evolve what we offer in Office 365 to meet the needs of companies while having the minimal impact on user productivity and the user's personal experience. So what exactly is this thing that we are now offering? Well, let me walk through it at a high level. In about 3 months, it's not deployed into Office 365 today, but in about 3 months, you will be able to go to your admin portal in the cloud, and in the same place where you sign up for other services such as Yammer, you'll click a button that says, I want device management for Office 365. And what that does from a user perspective at that point is nothing. What it does is it tells all of our partner services that will be running in the background, serving the needs of getting these devices under an MDM authority. It tells them this tenant is interested, go provision it. So we go talk to our Intune Cloud service in the back end. We talk to the Azure Active Directory service on the back end, because a lot of what we control is done at authentication time. And we will go and provision the tenant. We'll provision the users so they're known amongst the services, and they'll know to start paying attention to what devices are trying to connect for those users. So you basically, you activate the tenant is how we describe it. And then in minutes, or depending on the size of your tenant, several minutes, you can then go to the Office 365 compliance console, which I will show you as part of our demo, and you can provision a policy. And these policies can apply to a group. That group can have a single user if you want to test it out. It can have your whole company if you want to set controls right away, or it can have anything in between. And you can apply two things. You can apply conditional access requirements, and you can apply device controls. So what does that mean? Actually, show of hands, how many were at the garage series where we talked through this on Wednesday or Thursday? All right, great. So this will be new to all of you. There's two things that we offer as part of this solution. The first thing is conditional access. So when you go create a policy, you'll say, if this user on any of their devices wants to go and get cloud data and bring it down to their phone through our apps or through ActiveSync, their device must meet a set of criteria. And that will be enforced at authentication time. So if I go and I try to open my OneDrive for Business app and I auth, we will know whether the set of things on that device meet our conditional access requirements. Now, many of these are traditional policy requirements, like password protection and a number of sub-requirements, like the size of the password, whether it needs alphanumerics, et cetera, whether the device is encrypted. But we've also added checking to see if it's a jailbroken device. So conditional access will require, depending on how you set your policy, a set of criteria to be met such that you know your data can be accessed safely and that it's covered in the day-to-day use of that device. So a second part of the policy that you're going to create is device controls. So let's say they meet the conditional access requirements. They've connected using their OneDrive for Business app or ActiveSync. They've got a bunch of data flowing to and from the phone, between the phone and the cloud. Now we want to make sure that that data doesn't go elsewhere, where it creates risk to the company for that data to go. You can set controls in place on that device to manage things like screenshots, whether it gets saved to an SD card, the use of Bluetooth, for example. So a number of device-wide settings as part of that policy to protect where the data goes from that device. And again, once you've created these two sets of settings in your policy, you can decide how broadly to apply this. Now, the final tier of what we're offering in our device management, which has been a wonderful progression from ActiveSync, is selective wipe. And this is part of our contract with the BYOD users that you'll be pushing this software out to, this MDM software, to say, look, we're going to have full control over your organization data. That's ours. There's a risk. And if you want to use it on your phone, we need to be able to manage it. But the rest of the data is yours. So now the user leaves the company, you don't have to wipe their kids' pictures from their phone, for example. This will only wipe the data that has been protected by the managed apps, the apps that are Intune aware on the device. And the added bonus. Once you add that policy and you say, you know, apply, every time the users that policy applied to go to connect with their device to get the data, the very first thing they'll need to do, stage one, is they'll be asked to enroll that device. So there is device management software that will be running on that phone, but it's hands-free for your IT staff. Once you've created that policy, everything goes directly through the user. So for example, if they go to ActiveSync, they'll see a message that says, you're not enrolled. Your device is now protected by device management for Office 365. Please enroll the device. And they'll go through a set of steps that registers the device in our partner services, Azure Active Directory and Intune, and then checks for compliance. Now that compliance check is ongoing. So if they go and they jailbreak their phone later, they'll fail the conditional access criteria. The first step is enrolling the device so we have our software on there. What this means is that with the device enrolled, you have a very, very easy upgrade if you choose to go with our full Intune offering. Now the exciting thing is everything you see in white background, that is free as part of Office 365 licensing. You don't have any new deployments, you don't have anything new to buy, right? Everything is within the Office 365 admin console. You don't have to train anybody on new config or a new portal. This is all completely integrated in Office 365. If you choose to pay a little extra for the Intune license, it's easy. It's easy to move there because you've already got everything established in the architecture and on the user's phones. What Intune gives you, and Brian will talk more about this in his segment of the presentation, but what Intune gives you is a number of more sophisticated controls in clearing that line, making even starker that line between the corporate data and the user's personal and social data on the phone, as well as full application management. So if you want to roll out line of business apps to your organization, full Intune makes it very easy. And when I talk about distinguishing that line even more clearly, full Intune will let you do things like pin protect each app, so you can get rid of that device-wide password and just pin lock the apps that access the corporate data, leaving the user to be free to use their phone with very little friction, unless it's corporate data. And it will also manage what can be shared between apps that have corporate data, the managed apps, and the rest of the data on the phone. And as you'll see, we'll actually demo where you can cut and paste between the managed apps, but you can't then go paste it into Twitter or some personal app. All right. So again, I'll show you policy management. We'll do a little demo here. But just to talk through some of the highlights of policy management, we've got conditional access, which as we mentioned, allows you to set a criteria for each device that will go and access corporate data, and it will stop you from even authenticating if those criteria are not met. With the device level controls, you can configure these policies by group, and they allow you to manage data leaving the device once that conditional access criteria is met. All of this is built in to the management. Some of the device policies do require PowerShell, but that's because we have over 50 of them, well beyond what you could manage with ActiveSync. There are a lot of different controls, very granular controls for devices that we support in our new device management for Office 365. And finally, a great reporting story. So not only will you get compliance reports, but we've actually got a feature where when you first roll out the policy, you can do a test. Instead of just defining it and throwing it out there to control users' devices, you can find out what impact you will have by saying, don't block just yet, but just report violations. It will still enroll all those users' devices, but it won't impact them in any way. It'll just feed data back to you for your planning to understand what users you will impact and to what extent. We also have API support for our device reporting, and we do some aggregation so you can see trends and usage in your organization. So as I mentioned, the password policy, there's a lot of different settings for that, a lot of subsettings to that password policy, but these are things that you can configure based on what level of control that you'd like to have on the device. All right, another thing that we offer is an organization-wide setting. So this is not per policy, per group. This is organization-wide, but you decide what to do with unsupported devices. So older devices in Android and iOS that don't understand device management software, period, right, haven't provided the APIs for anyone enrolling devices to be able to add the right controls to that device, you decide whether you want those devices to just be allowed or to block them. That's really your only two choices if they don't know how to interpret management software. The next thing, which I've heard a lot of great buzz about, so I'm really happy we prioritized this for our first rollout of this, is that if you've got, let's say, a CTO or a CEO that obviously has a deep vested interest in the company and just doesn't want to have any device management on their device, they know what to do, they know, you know, how to share it, they believe they'll never lose their device, which is, of course, all of our beliefs, and they insist that they don't want to enroll or be hampered in any way by this compliance software, you can add them to an exclusion list. So that's a full exclusion list from any of the policies. So if you pick a group and someone in this exclusion list happens to be in that group, those policies will not apply. All right, and what I mentioned before is that conditional access is checked constantly, but when you first use your app after a policy's been applied, that bootstrapping process is what you see here. It decides that now a policy applies to this user, and that user must enroll the device with the Intune software in order to be able to access corporate data from the cloud. And Brian will actually walk through a number of these experiences, the enrollment and device registration experience, so you can see exactly how it works. All right, and again, one of the most exciting evolutions of ActiveSync is selective wipe. And probably the biggest thing to call out with this is that all of these policies, while they include our managed apps, so Word, Excel, PowerPoint, device OWA, and OneDrive for Business, they also include ActiveSync. So you don't have to worry about if someone's using ActiveSync on their phone and there was a policy rolled out, you go do selective wipe for all the apps, but now you have to go back to the Exchange admin console and go wipe their device for ActiveSync. You don't have to do that. ActiveSync will actually change the authorities that it's working with on the device to use Intune instead of the traditional ActiveSync controls once that user's enrolled. And we did server-side work to make that happen because, as you know, ActiveSync is not our app, right? It's our protocol stack, but we depend on the platforms to go and implement it. It's a native app on these platforms. So what we've said is, here's the rules for ActiveSync. Please go implement them correctly. And in many cases, they've said, okay, I like this one. I don't like this one. I'm going to ignore this one. So it's rather inconsistent, right? So the nice thing is that you have full Office 365 device management control over ActiveSync, and that selective wipe will still apply to ActiveSync because of the work we've done server side to make that happen. All right, a demo of this stuff. But before we do that, so I'm Canadian and American now, and we've got an American up here, and today happens to be a very popular holiday in North America. Anyone know what October 31st is? It's Halloween. So to thank you for getting up so early and waking up on the fourth morning after the night before, and in order to celebrate this very big holiday in our native land, we are going to do a Halloween quiz, and the prizes are going to be Halloween candy in very spooky bags. So Brian's going to help me here. Just take those into the... Just two?
You should ask him to name one. Name one in a second.
All right. So we have two questions, and if you get them right, you get a bag of Halloween candy. Number one, according to that first slide of statistics, what percent of users admit to violating security policies? Raise your hand.
Let's see. Blue shirt right there. Right? You. What's your name?
All right, gentleman in the blue shirt.
93?
93%. Well done.
Happy Halloween.
All right, and the second one. So conditional access policies can look at three things. In general, there's password protection, password policies. There's whether the device is jailbroken. And number three is whether the device supports what?
Right here. Encryption.
Encryption. Yeah. Very, very good.
Well done, well done.
All right, happy Halloween. Right. Okay, so what does this policy thing look like? Well, if you use Office 365 today, you'll know this. This is the Office 365 admin console. And when we release device management, you'll see that there's a compliance node off the admin console. And if I click on that compliance node, I'll be directed to our brand new compliance center. Now, forgive me, this is in beta. This isn't out there yet, so some of the pixels are kind of squished in our beta version, but hopefully that shows you that this is live code running in our pre-production environment. And once we get to the compliance center, so this is after you've already gone and pushed that big green button that says, I want device management, and in the background we've gone and provisioned your tenant and all your users in Intune Cloud Service and in the Active Directory Cloud Service. That's all in the background. You don't have to know or understand any of that. But once that's done, then you can come into this console and create a policy. So you'll see the device access settings. That's what I was talking about, the tenant-wide allower block settings. And then in this list view, this is where we create the per-group policies that we want to apply. So let me create a new one here. Let's say our legal team is doing an acquisition and there's a lot of really highly confidential documents being moved around. They do a lot of traveling, so they move them on their mobile devices. So I want a special policy just for my legal team, and I'm going to make it pretty heavy. So here you see the device security policies. This is conditional access requirements. This is what the device has to adhere to before the user can pull corporate data, organization data out of the cloud and put it on their device. And you'll see here at the bottom, device cannot be jailbroken or rooted, which is an evolution since ActiveSync policy. The second thing I'll show you here is at the very bottom, if a device doesn't meet the requirements above, then still allow it and report a violation or block. And I think in this context, report violations a little bit heavy. What it really is it's planning, right? It's gathering some data without actually blocking or adding controls to any of the devices just to understand the impact. And of course, if you're going to require people to enroll some software on their device and you're going to set limits on what they can do and guide them on how they use corporate data, you really want to understand the breadth of impact that's going to have. So this just gives you sort of practice and a little bit of data gathering before you actually block. All right, and this is, once the data's on the device, how do you want to manage it so it doesn't go places it should not go? And again, I mentioned there's over 50 settings here. The ones that we've left in the UI are the most common, the most popular, but you can configure a number of others through PowerShell. And so you see things like blocking screen capture here, the removable storage, Bluetooth, anything that can lead to the data getting off the device in ways that create risk for your organization. And once you've got the conditional access and the device controls defined, you can now choose to apply it. And if you want to apply it to one person, you create a group with one, your test group. If you want to apply it to the whole org, you can do that. It's a lot more flexible in this sense than ActiveSync was, because ActiveSync required deploying mailbox policies, which a little bit more heavyweight in terms of config and maintenance. So let's say I want to apply this to all my compliance officers. So I'll scroll down, and here's my OneDrive for Business compliance managers. Let's add them because that's my legal team. That's what I've called my legal team. And here I can save it without deployment if I'm just creating things and I want to review them with my compliance officer or my legal team. And then you'll get a review of what you've created, and you can go ahead and create that policy. And now what this will do is every user who's in that group, every device through which they try to access the cloud data in our apps, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OWA for devices, ActiveSync, and OneDrive for business, they will go through the enrollment process to bootstrap one time, get the Intune software running on their device, and then from then on you'll have a number of controls for how that data is brought to the device and where that data goes. All right, so at this point I'll hand it over to Brian. He's going to talk a little bit about Intune's role in this, and then standalone Intune offering if you want to upgrade to the full version of Intune.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah. Aside from handing out Halloween candy, which I really enjoy doing, I also wanted to show you the enrollment experience. So once you saw Sarah create a policy, that policy included things like PIN and passcode protection, encryption, things of that nature. So you deploy that to a group of users. So what happens next? Well, the first thing is you have a user here, and there's a couple paths to getting enrolled, right? The next step is for the user to enroll their device into management, to have those policies applied, and to get that protection on the device, but at the same time, enable the user to be productive with personal information. So the first path is, let's say that they're going to install an Office application. So they go to the store, and they search for, in this case, the example is OneDrive. Find OneDrive, go ahead and install that. Typical App Store experience. Go ahead and open that. And then the next thing I'm going to do is I've been told, hey, to use company documents, or maybe I'm going to be using Word or Excel or PowerPoint, but in this case, OneDrive. To get access to company documents, I'm going to use this OneDrive for business. So I go ahead and put my organizational credentials in, and I click sign in. So I'm going to go ahead, because it's an org ID, I'm going to go ahead and get redirected to an authentication page. I'm going to sign in. And what's going to happen is it's going to recognize that I'm a member of a group that is required to enroll for management, required to enroll my device for management. And so I'm going to see this screen. It's going to say you need to enroll your device. I'm going to click the button and begin the enrollment process. We'll detect the platform I'm coming in from. So if it's Android, it'll be Google Play. If it's iOS, it'll redirect me to the page where I can install our company portal. This is the Microsoft Intune company portal, which walks the user through how to enroll their device into management. So that's one path. Let's take a step back. Let's say that the most common thing to do is when I first get my device, I want to set up corporate email. So I probably will do that first. So what does that look like if I'm going to go create a connection to my Exchange server? So I'm going to go into Settings, and I'm going to go to Mail, Contacts. I'm going to add an account, and I'm going to add an Exchange account. I'm going to put in a crazy email address. This was a test account that I used to capture these screenshots with. And I'm going to go ahead and click Next. It's going to verify that I have access, that my credentials are correct. It did. I'm going to go ahead and click Save. It'll add the account, and I'm good to go. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go check my corporate email. This is great. So I click on email, and you're going to see that I get one email, which is a quarantine mail. It's a template. And because of a deep integration with ActiveSync and some updates we've made to ActiveSync, we can actually drive the enrollment process through any native email client. That's very, very important. You don't have to use a proprietary email client or any kind of browser. What you'll get is the integration with the native mail clients. So on iOS, it's the native mail app. On Android, it's the native mail app. Some folks use Touchdown. On Windows Phone, it's the native mail client. So this integration is at the device level, and users can use the email clients that they know and love on their platforms And still, you can provide this level of conditional access, this level of data protection. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to look at this mail, and I'm going to see some very specific instructions. So to access company email and resources, I have to enroll my device. So step one is enroll. Notice that I've come to the same place that I did when I was coming through an Office application. So to the store, I'm going to go ahead and install. And then, when you open up the Microsoft Intune company portal, it's going to kick off the enrollment process for the end user. So it's going to say, hey, enroll this device into management. So I'm going to click enroll. It's going to reach out to the Intune service. It's going to grab some information to be able to create that management profile. And then this is a typical experience on iOS for getting a management profile installed and the certificates deployed to be able to manage. So this is all platform-based. So I click install. I'll install now. Installs a profile, generates keys, enrolls certificates. This is a dialog that iOS provides to let users know, hey, there's a mobile device management agent that's going to be working. So can't avoid this, but click install. And then I'm all done. So I go, now what you see is that this device has been enrolled into Intune and policies have come down and are being applied. One of those is the policy that perhaps Sarah created, which is a passcode is required on this device as part of the management policy. So I'm going to see that fairly quickly after enrollment. Click continue. Requires a 4-digit passcode. I enter it twice on iOS, and I'm good to go. So I can come back to mail, and if mail isn't flowing yet, I can go to step two, and by clicking on check device compliance, it takes the user out to a place where they can find out if there's any other issues with their device. Maybe encryption didn't get enabled for some reason. Maybe the device was detected as jailbroken. So all of these settings are evaluated, and I can, as an end user, go check if there's an issue with my device. Right now it's in compliance, so I'm good. Come back to my email and I get email flowing. This was a test inbox with funky mails, so hopefully it'll be more useful mail, like a message from your boss saying to work harder and things like that. Okay, so I wanted to walk through some of what's going on behind the scenes, some of the flows. So we saw in Sarah's demonstration that the IT admin goes into the O365 devices portal and creates policies, assigns those policies to groups of users, configures it. What that does is that triggers updates to Intune and also in Azure AD. So these policies that are required to be deployed to the device and whether or not the user is part of a group that needs to enroll for management in order to get access to company resources. This information is passed from services in O365 to Intune and Azure AD services. At that point, whenever the user authenticates to corporate resources, whether it's email or SharePoint online documents, they'll have to enroll their device. What Intune does is it evaluates compliance, applies policies. We saw the PIN code, for example, and will update the record in Azure AD for that device. Now what happens as part of enrollment, when you saw me enroll just now, it's not just enrolling into Intune, it's also registering the device in Azure AD. So creating an association between the user, that device identity, and for that reason, information about the device's compliance state can be updated in Azure AD and used by all the other Microsoft services. That's the key to this, is the identity service, Azure AD. So, authenticates the user and device, applies conditional access controls. Let me talk a little bit about, in more detail, that the authentication process that I just mentioned, Azure AD. So when I try to access applications in Office 365, I'm directed to sign in to Active Directory. We saw that in the OneDrive example. So the user sends user credentials and device credentials, and AD will validate those. And if everything looks good, if the user is on a managed device and the policies have been applied successfully, then an access token is granted to O365. And it flows right back to the O365 service. So this is done through something called ADAL, Active Directory Authentication Library. So the ADAL path is how all of the Office applications, the client applications, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneDrive, for example, ADAL is how they authenticate. Might be important to remember that. I don't know why. There's a second flow, and that is through natively through Exchange Active Sync. So this is how we integrate with native mail clients on devices, and this is how we can support any Active Sync-enabled mail client. So what happens is that the EAS client, for example, the native mail on iOS, attempts to get email, passing up the EAS ID, as well as the username and password. So we've updated Active Sync and the EAS protocol to support looking up the device information in Azure AD. It says, hey, here's an EAS ID. Do I know about this? And is this device managed and compliant with policies? If it doesn't find that device, or it's not compliant with policies, it will send that quarantine mail that I showed you in the demo a minute ago. The user goes through step one and step two, enrolls their device, and there's some attributes on the device. For example, it's got the ID, it's whether it's managed or not, and the MDM status is managed is set to true after I enroll, and MDM status is compliant or non-compliant. But the beauty of this is the enrollment not only enrolls into Intune, as I mentioned, but it also in workplace joins the device through the Azure AD Device Registration Service. That's the DRS. And all of this happens almost instantaneously. So once this is complete, the next time the client does a sync, which could be immediately, the EAS server will look up that record. If it finds it, it's compliant, everything's good, mail will start to flow. So that's the second path. The first path is the Office apps integrated with AD, ADAL, and the other path is through email, through Exchange Active Sync. So what Sarah and I have talked about up to this point is the Office 365 MDM, which is the functionality that comes with your Office 365 subscription. So no additional fees. When you buy Office 365, you'll have the settings, you'll have the selective wipe, the conditional access, that'll all be available to you. As Sarah mentioned earlier, you can always upgrade to full Intune to get advanced features and functionality. So what are some of those things? Well, you'll get application management, which is the ability to deploy applications to devices, as well as being able to apply what we call app restrictions, which is MAM. So you can restrict things like sharing from managed to unmanaged or unprotected apps. You can prevent cut, copy, paste. You can prevent save as. And you can have URLs within documents that are in managed apps shell out to a managed browser that is also protected from certain actions. In addition, you can also add application pins, so you'll not only have a device pin, but you can have app pins, etc. So there's a number of additional features that you get for application management that integrates Intune and Office 365 above and beyond some of the things we've talked about when you have full Intune. Full Intune also has capabilities like the ability to deploy certificates, Wi-Fi and VPN profiles. You can do bulk enrollment. Obviously, if you want to make apps available to your users through that company portal I showed you, that's part of the app deployment, which isn't part of the Office 365 MDM. And in addition, you can connect Microsoft Intune to an existing configuration manager deployment and have a single pane of glass for PC management, Mac, Linux, with Config Manager, and also get your mobile device management all from within the Config Manager console. So there are a number of advanced capabilities when you have a subscription to full Intune. So I talked about this ability to protect data through mobile application management. So let me do a quick walkthrough of this, and Sarah will demo this in more detail in a moment. So when setting up an unmanaged tablet, any connection to Exchange is blocked. Once that tablet is enrolled, then they're granted access to email. We saw that. Saving an attachment to OneDrive is blocked, since OneDrive is not managed. But because OneDrive for Business is a managed app and has that ability to do that sophisticated authentication, it's allowed. Also, you can copy and paste content between these managed apps. So that would be allowed to, say, take information from OneDrive and move it over into PowerPoint, or take Excel data and move that into Word. But if you try to copy text to some note program that isn't managed, that would not be allowed. And later, if Sarah leaves the company, you can selectively wipe just the business data from that device and leave the personal data there. So let's go ahead and do a demo of seeing some of that in action, the app restrictions, how to deploy these types of policies from standalone Intune. Oh wait, remember what holiday it is. It's Halloween.
All right, so Brian's gonna hand the reins back to me, but before we do, he's just gonna test to see if you're paying attention.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. My turn to ask the tough questions. Okay. So I talked about two paths to conditional access. Name the two paths or the technologies involved in the conditional access that I showed you a moment ago.
Anyone? Active Sync.
That's one, yeah.
Well done.
Very good, very good. Okay, next question. Name one feature that is available in full Intune that's not available in O365 MDM.
Oh, we're awake over on this side. Gentlemen with the luggage, ready to go.
We'll get you out of here soon.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. Certificate push.
Yes, certificate
Congratulations,
push.
Congratulations, happy Halloween.
Well done. All right, gone. So as I mentioned, Sarah's going to go into the Intune admin console and show you how to build one of these application restriction policies, and also show what it looks like on a device.
All right, thank you, Brian. All right, one of the things that I realized we should mention before going into the Intune console demo is that Brian talked about how we can work with Config Manager and our System Center tools. And one of the things I was asked in the Garage Series demo was, all right, so you keep talking about iOS and Android. What about Windows? What about Home? And what's interesting is that what we're building here, our priority has been to manage iOS and Android devices because we have a strong platform story on Windows through Config Manager. And so our what we call our EDP platform, which has evolved immensely with our upcoming Windows release, that has even more sophisticated controls for people to manage everything from Windows desktop all the way to Windows phone. Obviously, we're able to do a lot more because we own the entire stack. So it's not that Windows phone is excluded from this. It's that we have even better tools to manage that. But certainly, these two platforms will be reconciled so that, for example, an app developer only has to write to one stack in order to fully manage their app through Microsoft and Office 365. All right, so you've enjoyed MDM for Office 365, you want a few more sophisticated controls, you've upgraded to Intune. In order to manage that, you will use the Intune Management Console, which is what you're seeing here. And where I've navigated to here is Configuration Policies. And let me go back and just list the policies. And I'm using Google because I used IE in the other one. I'm using two different demo tenants. Not because I think Chrome is better, but because it allowed me to separate the auth a little bit more cleanly than our in-private browsing. So here we are with our list of configuration policies, and you'll see a number of them. We mentioned that full Intune supports a managed browser, so you have more controls over what the user is getting to through the browser. And what I'll open here, because I'll demo on iOS, is the application management policy for iOS that we've created. So if I look at the different things that we can do with it, here you can see you can choose to restrict web content in the managed browser, and there's some backup options. Here's the allow app to transfer data to other apps. This is what Brian was talking about, and what I mentioned earlier is cut and pasting between managed apps, your corporate data, and the user's social or personal data. You're able to restrict this in order to make sure that if you want data to stay in the cloud service or to not move out of device or around the device into the or cross the boundary into the personal data, you can use this to do it. And together with preventing save as, by saying either none or just policy managed apps, together with save as, you've essentially allowed these managed apps to just be extensions of your cloud service without actually persisting the data locally. So you're still giving the user a method to be productive and be able to access their cloud data, but you're really making it kind of an arm or a limb of the Office 365 cloud rather than having the data sort of in the Wild West going where you hope it doesn't go or giving a little bit too much leeway to have this high-risk data stored on devices that move around a lot. You've also seen in some of the screenshots the pin lock. So you can actually apply. So this application management policy gets applied to manage apps of your choice. And so you can say, look, I want to pin lock this app. And if you do that with all of your managed apps, you can pull the full phone pin lock off, which is really nice for the user. All right, so this, I've shown you this. It's already been applied to your users, and one of those users is using an iOS device that I will show you what the user experience is as a result of this iOS policy being applied. All right, so here I am on a device that has that application policy applied. And I've got a set of apps, as you can see. I've got OneDrive for Business, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, and my company portal. So all our managed apps, as well as some of my own personal apps, Twitter and Facebook. So what I first want to do is go into Excel, and you'll see there's the pin lock that I've done on a per-app basis. So I enter my highly secure 1234 pin. And I want to copy these revenue numbers. So I'm going to select copy. And if I go back out, let's say I want to share these in Twitter. What great revenue numbers I want to tell everybody before we've actually disclosed it. Well, if I select, let me just select that. So what's missing from this menu? Paste, right. This is not a managed app. And I said in my application policy that I did not want to share across the boundary between managed apps and personal apps. So it's not going to let me do it in Twitter. Now let's go back. And actually, I'll do this because I also want to show you that as I scroll through, you'll see preview's gone. Preview is gone because if you have pin-protected apps that you're managing, you don't want to show information in preview. So preview's gone so that you have to have a pin access to that app. So let me go into Word, which is, as you can see, managed by the company. I enter my PIN, now I can see Word, and if I try to paste it into here, there you have it. Paste is allowed because it's one of the managed apps. So you've created a container, a safe container for your corporate data, but kept a strict boundary between that and personal data. So I'll just paste that. And that's how the policy applies. All right, this slide is for reference as much as anything. You'll have access to the decks, so this will just help you understand the progression and what's available with each progression. Today we have Active Sync, and the way to think about Active Sync is, you know, you've got full device wipe, you've got full device PIN, you've got some password reset capabilities. So Active Sync supports some coarse controls that are pretty popular today. But the place that we're going with this in MDM for Office 365 is making those controls more granular, giving users more independence, more autonomy over their personal and social data, while, again, giving you more reliable and granular controls over your corporate data. So reporting, much richer in Office 365 than you get with Active Sync today. You can have group-based policies. You know, it's possible today in Active Sync, but you have to understand how to apply a mobile device policy template and then set it on each user. And that takes a lot of maintenance rather than just adding and removing users to groups or a group that you have that policy applied to. There's the jailbreak detection. So today, Active Sync has password options. Active Sync can check for device supporting encryption, but there's no jailbreak check. And leaving users' personal data in place while removing app data. And of course, preventing access through conditional access. So really creating this extension of the cloud for the user on their BYOD devices while leaving their personal experience on the phone intact.
So Sarah, one thing I wanted to mention is that, which we didn't touch on earlier, is the MDM for Office 365. So the settings, the conditional access, and the selective wipe are all available on Android 4.0 and above, iOS 7 and above, and Windows Phone 8.1. So those three platforms fully supported within the O365 MDM. And a number of these additional features are also available on those three platforms. The one thing that we're not delivering in the three-month time frame that Sarah mentioned is the app policies on the Windows Phone. So that's something that will be coming in the Windows 10 timeframe. We'll look to integrate those pieces. So for now, you'll have the app policies, the PIN, cut, copy, paste, what you just saw on Android and iOS. And just want to make that clear so you have that information.
Thanks, Brian. Yep. All right, and getting near the end, I did want to talk a little bit about coexistence, so you understand how what we're offering in the coming months will interact with or not interact with what you already have in place today. So these device policies are fully compatible with any existing Active Sync policies that you have. So there's a few different configurations. Today, many have Active Sync policies that just apply across the board. That's quite simple and straightforward to configure in the admin console. And many, many companies, probably over 50% of our Office 365 tenants, have some sort of Active Sync policy. The second thing is, in some cases, they want to exclude users from having any MDM access at all. And so, again, you use the mailbox device policies. They're specific to devices, but they're very similar to how you apply mailbox policies. Think of it as a template. But you then have to go and apply it to users. And so you have to maintain that when users come or go from the company. It's a lot nicer to have these group-based policies that we now have with device management, because you can just manage the groups and you don't have to touch the policy. So today, those first two exist, and they can be done either through org-wide controls or the mailbox device policy. You can introduce Office 365 device management, that thing, that big button, the green button I talked about, where you say, yes, I want this in my org, and then you go and you create policies, and maybe you apply it first to just yourself or, you know, your guinea pigs, and then you might want them for a legal team or someone who you need extra restriction for, just to start understanding how it works, you know, user feedback on it, and having a timeline for rollout. That is fine, and everyone else who is not part of a policy will still experience whatever ActiveSync controls that you have in place. So if you add a user to a policy, ActiveSync will ignore existing ActiveSync policies. The new device management settings will trump ActiveSync, but only for those users. Everyone else, the behavior will be the same. So as you roll out policies, users will then get these enrollment messages and be managed under device management, but they can absolutely coexist with ActiveSync today. And then perhaps you'll be in a state where you have all ActiveSync plus device management, you're slowly rolling it out. Again, easy coexistence. And then eventually, because what we're doing is really more granular than ActiveSync, more full set of controls and applies across all data, it makes sense to eventually roll this out to all of your org. Think of it as a superset of ActiveSync that covers more than just email. Now the other question that has come up is, okay, what about full Intune? Can I still have some of my device management for Office 365 and run full Intune for some? If I just want to buy, you know, a few licenses to have those more sophisticated controls? The answer is yes, but it will be a few months past when we deploy this. And so with its availability in the early February timeframe, you will choose between this and full Intune for everywhere you see the gold. But within months,
yeah.
And Brian can probably speak to a more accurate timeline since this is something Intune is doing. Within months, you will be able to have a single organization that has some people on full Intune and the rest of the people taking advantage of what comes free with the Office 365 license.
Yeah, I can just say that the engineering work to allow coexistence where you say, some of my users, I'm going to use the built-in O365 MDM, but I'm going to take a portion of my users and try out full Intune or actually apply full Intune capabilities to those users. That engineering work is just a little bit behind the rest of what we're delivering. So I would say by February or March, you'll be able to do a pick and choose, which I think will be a big benefit for companies. But on day one, when it comes out, you'll have to choose one or the other, but that won't lock you in. Once we deploy the update to the Intune service, you'll be able to just take users and move them between the two offerings however you need.
So a lot of these are canned slides that are office-wide, so please join our technical network, tips and best practices. This resource is one, fairly standard. There's our Channel 9 that we're filming just out near the event hall. TechNet Learning Developer Network. One thing I want to call out in this is that we're going to talk a little bit about device management as part of our larger Office 365 compliance breakout, and that's right after this one, and I'll be co-presenting that one as well. It'll have device management, but we'll also include our full suite of ways that you can control and manage data flow and access, which includes DLP, auditing, encryption, as well as the controls that you have on your data at rest in your environments. So archiving, e-discovery, hold, retention, deletion. So MDM will be a smaller part of that if you're interested in the all-up Office 365 compliance story, both now and future. I think the booklet actually had it listed incorrectly as happening this afternoon. It's actually happening at 10:15, so you'll want to check your online schedule builder for where that is. But that will have some of this MDM stuff as well, but we'll give you the bigger picture of how to really manage the flow of data especially if you're moving to the cloud. That's always a big concern because a lot of companies feel like it's even less within their control, and that's not the case, and we're working hard to make sure that we have that level of control for our users and organizations. All right, so the big takeaways are that we are moving from the ActiveSync model to a model that is more reliable, because ActiveSync now depended on platforms to apply the protocol stack, and they would often pick and choose which ones they would and wouldn't adapt in their native clients. Number two, very coarse controls today. We're giving you much more granularity, so it's reliable, it's more granular. And number three, we're making that separation to have the least impact on the user's personal experience as possible, because BYOD is the way of the future. You know, unless you're Department of Defense or you know, some governments that still really want that BlackBerry to be used alongside your personal device, it's really a BYOD world, and separating the data within a single device, very important. And that's what we've evolved this to. You'll see it coming in the winter of 2015. And we've got a few more minutes. So
yeah, it's been a sincere pleasure to present to you. Our time together is almost done. The conference is almost over, but it's been a great week. I hope you enjoyed it. As we did leave a few minutes for questions, about 10 minutes. And so Sarah and I will be up here after we close this out. Come on up and ask your questions, and we'll try to get them answered. So once again, thanks a lot.